Lamont Dozier Jr., welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, Ray. How are you guys doing down there in Atlanta?
I'm so excited and so happy to have you on the show. As I was talking to you offline, I had been receiving correspondence from Tom, your publicist, and he was like, yo, you've got to feature my guy. You got to feature my guy. And was driving my mom around, listening, of course, to the new Urban Jazz Lounge here on WCLK that's hosted by our good friend Bob Baldwin.
Oh, and yeah.
Your name, he said, I'm going to play a new cut from Lamont Dozier Jr. I was like, Tom's artist. So I went back and I said, Tom, let's set it up. Let's do it. And just realized that, oh my gosh, you come from music royalty, the Motown sound, your father, of course, the name. And yes. I was like, okay, we've got to talk to this guy. And we're going to get to your father, but let's talk about your music. We open up this segment with your song, I'm Going to Take My Time. Love it. And I believe that this is your time. That's why we started.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ray.
Let's talk about the inspiration behind that, if we can.
Oh, it was great. It's my first foray, if you could say, being a recording artist. I've recorded for other artists and done things on their albums and had a great time doing that. But then I said, you know, now is the time for me to come out and do my own thing. I had been around Los Angeles for 14 years, just performing with my band and doing session work and stuff like that. And it just comes a time for when you know as a performer that it's time for you to step out front and do some things, and you do have something to offer. And so I just wanted to share the world the fact that I'm a singer-songwriter in my own right. And I wanted to give them something really groovy. I'm an R&B soul guy head anyway, so I just wanted to give them some of that 90s little R&B. And I think we accomplished that with I'm Going to Take My Time. It's kind of, the sound reminds me of the 90s R&B, but at time it's still current, you know? So I'm just digging it. It's about a guy being away from the one he loves and trying to get back to that. And that's perfect for now, because some people are separated with this COVID situation going on. But, you know, it tells a story about getting back to the ones you love. And then as hectic as life can be, once you get back there, you're going to love them up. So that's the story behind I'm Going to Take My Time, for sure.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the 90s. That did take me back to Soft Notes. I don't know if you remember that show. Oh,
yeah. I was in Atlanta in the 90s. Yeah.
Long time ago. Let's talk about the cover that you did of your dad's classic tune, Why Can't We Be Lovers? Let's talk about that one.
Well, some of your audience may recognize that from his 1972 Invictus release. He did it with the Holland Brothers, and they formed Invictus label after they left Motown. And one of the hit R&B soul songs they had was Why Can't We Be Lovers? And it turned out to be like an underground classic for them. And I picked this one not only because it was one of my favorites, but because my dad sings lead on that tune. So I said, years gone by, to bring it up to speed, to make a long story short, you know, I said, people been asking me, why don't you cover some of your dad's stuff? They would see me perform in Los Angeles, and then they said, man, you need to cover Fish Ain't Biting. You need to cover Why Can't We Be, you know, some of their favorites, going back to my roots. And then I said, man, you know what? I'm going to start out with Why Can't We Be Lovers, because I really like that one. And so we did. We went in 2018. We cut it. I told my producer, Kevin Flournoy, I said, man, you listen, I don't want it to be an exact ripoff of the original, but I do want it to be updated for 2020 and 2021. And so he said, no problem, man. Let's go in here and make it funky, do some things, we'll make some changes. But it harkens back to the original, but it's my own little flow too. So that's how we came up with Why Can't We Be Lovers, you know. So I'm loving it.
Let's talk about your stay here in Atlanta, because you actually spent some time in the ATL before you finally landed in Los Angeles. So what did you enjoy the most about living here?
Oh, it was so beautiful, and the accessibility. It's a beautiful town, man. You know, I love the greenery. I love, we had a lot of fun down there, made a lot of friends when I was living down there. I was down there from 93 to 99, and I didn't do a whole lot of music. I did meet some musicians down there, and very good guys, and I was affiliated. I knew some guys from the hip-hop scene that was getting strong there with Outkast and all different ones in the studios and what have you. And I did cut some demos and things down there, but then at the time I was working for Bank of America doing some corporate work and everything. And but I really enjoyed my time down there. I got married down there with my wife, man. You know, Atlanta's always going to be that kind of special, reminiscent kind of thing for me, and we're still kicking it together, so I'm loving that. But I just love, you know, coming by there, and I would love to come back and entertain there too, because it just has a good vibe. It's always been really cool and laid back, and I know you guys love your R&B and your soul, along with your hip hop and all that other hot stuff. So, you know, I can't wait to get back. Yeah.
So we just heard a snippet of your remake of the classic tune "Hello, It's Me," and that's one of my personal favorites. What made you decide to remake that one?
Well, it's a story behind that one. When I first started dating my wife, and this was before we got married, we didn't know that we liked the same type of music. Some things that we just knew that were basic, you know, and everything like that. But then I was really digging the original version with Todd Rundgren. And, you know, my musical affiliation goes from different genres, man. I like a little rock, soul, funk, everything, classical. And so does she. And come to find out, you know, I believe we were just driving somewhere and "Hello, It's Me" came on, and I started singing it. And she said, "You know that song?" She said, I was the only one that knew that song. I said, "No, man, this is one of my favorites. You know, I'm an old classic rock head, you know, too." And so she was like, "I love this song." And I said, "Well, one day when I'm in a position, I'm going to cover this song, because it's been one of my all-time favorites too." And that's what we did, and it was so great. She was in the studio listening to it all come together with the strings and the whole bit, and she said, "You know something, I love the original, but I love what you brought to it, your flavor." And you kind of crooning a little bit, because I love to croon when I'm doing my thing. And so that's how "Hello, It's Me" came back. And it's really ironic, because I believe in 2017 2018, the original songwriter, singer, Todd Rundgren, he did some work with my dad in Nashville, and he covered one of my dad's songs. And I just found out about it as I was cutting "Hello, It's Me." He cut one of my dad's Motown hits, and then I said, "Well, I'm throwing the favor right back at him, man." But I love that song. It's been one of mine for decades, and it's one of those things, you know, I don't like to cover stuff if I can't do it right. So I think we did a good job on it. I hope your audience enjoys it. And yeah, it's one of my favorites, man. I love it.
Now, you just covered another classic tune along with Michael Langton, and this is part of the Luther Vandross quarantine sessions. House is not a home. Let's talk about that one, because that's such a classic. Everyone, you didn't have to be living under a rock for years not to know when you hear that doo 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 doo, that part.
Oh man. Okay. This harkens back to my days in Detroit. I'm a Detroit native, you know. And when I was there, I was in a group, and we would do covers, and we would do some Freddie Jackson, but a lot of our set was Luther based. I mean, we did everything from "Creeping" to "House Is Not a Home," "Superstar," all that good stuff. And I kind of got tired of "House," because they would wear me out. They'd be like, "Man, can you sing "House" for me?" And I said, I would do "House." But Michael called me up about 3 weeks ago. He said, "Lamont, you know, I'm doing a tribute to the great Luther Vandross." And I said, "Yeah, man, what do you want me to do?" And I named three songs. I said, "So Amazing," "House Is Not a Home," and another tune, I guess. And he said, "Let's do "House." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Man, now, you know, people are particular about their house." But I said, "You know, let's do it." And we're apart because Mike's in California and I'm here in Vegas. And he said, "Just make a tape and send it, and we'll do a quarantine duet." And we did it. And I just hope the audience enjoyed it, man. I had fun revisiting that tune, man, because it's one of the classics, I think, written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. Luther just, as he did with all songs, he just put his stamp on it. And it became his song, you know, so I'm just paying homage to the master, man. I mean, you know, there's only one Luther Vandross, you know, so you know that's right.
Absolutely. Let's talk about your father. We'd be remiss if we did not talk about his legendary career and just some of the lessons that you learned as a musician. Now, what are some of the things that maybe your dad shared with you in the very beginning part of your career that you still carry with you today?
Well, I learned to watch his work ethic. You know, he did a lot of things. Me and my sister, I have two sisters, but before my youngest sister was born, me and my oldest sister, we got a chance to hang out with him in Detroit before he moved to LA. And we would go to the studio and see different artists perform, from Honeycomb to Chairman of the Board, General Johnson, those guys. And we were on the session of some of those original recordings. And I would see him work with the Holland Brothers and things of that nature. And then when he went out to California, we ended up going out to California with him, and we were hanging with him when he was with ABC Dunhill. And then he started to put out his solo work, and that was the beginnings of the Fish Ain't Biting, Trying to Hold On to My Woman, going back to my roots. And I was in the studio, and consequently, my uncle, Reggie Dozier, who matter of fact, he got his Grammy with Outkast. He's a recording engineer, and he worked on The Love Below. But Reggie was back there too, recording with my dad, and he was the master engineer. And just watching their work ethic made an impression on me. And the way I make music now, you know, I love to do demos with technology and things of that nature, but when I actually put a song down, I love to have all the musicians in the studio. And that's a harken back to the throwback of the way my dad made music. Everybody was in the same place, having musical marriage, musical conversation, talking to each other through their instrument. And that's the way I like music. And I know from the changes in the industry and the costs, not everybody's able to make music like that. And I was blessed to do it myself this time. But that's my preference of how to make music, is the way I saw my father make music. And I saw the creative geniuses around him. I used to see him work with Joe Sample and Lee Ritenour. All those guys would be in the studio, and Abe Laborial Sr. and Ollie Brown and all those guys. I mean, just made some great music and worked with some great artists. And so that stuck with me. So I said, when I get a chance to make music, I want to make music that way, because I just think it's more powerful, and it's more than just my concept. It's other people coming in and adding their talent and their genius to it. And that's how we get the results that we get, you know, because it's more than one guy talking, so to speak, you know.
So I'm going to say the names of some Motown legends, and I want you to give me the first word that comes to mind, okay?
Is that good? yeah, that's good.
All right, here we go. You ready?
All right.
All right, Smokey Robinson.
Brilliant songwriter, prolific, iconic songwriter, wonderful artist, but I just admire his songwriting. He's one for the ages, one of America's greatest songwriters as far as I'm concerned.
Marvin Gaye.
Oh, brilliant, genius artist. I love his songs as well, but I think he's the total package. I mean, singer, songwriter, arranger, producer, amazing. And I'm one of his biggest fans, yes.
Stevie Wonder.
Another genius, another one of our prolific American treasures. And I just love Stevie. He's absolutely brilliant. One of my go-to guys as far as being influential on how I approach a song and things of that nature. Fantastic.
And last but not least, Diana Ross.
Diana, hustler, go-getter, superstar, all of those things. You know, people can say what they want about Diana, but she's a superstar, the diva plus. And I think she should be even held up even more. I went to go see Diana 2 years ago here in Vegas. She was performing here at one of the, I think the Venetian or something. And she put on a fantastic show. And I said, after all this time, she's still doing it and knocking the audiences. I mean, everybody, toward the last 15 minutes of the show, everybody was on their feet. So these are some people that I've had the pleasure and the honor to know and have access to, but nothing short of remarkable, their careers. And that's my frame of reference. That's who I wanna, when I grow up, I wanna be like, you know? So that's just the way it is, man. These people have really set a standard for performers, and I would just like to be a part of keeping that thing going, you know.
Well, Lamont Dozier Jr., thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. And how can our listeners stay in contact with you on social media?
Well, I have a presence on, I'm on Twitter. I just got on Twitter. I wasn't on Twitter, but I'm on Twitter now. I'm on Instagram at Lamont Dozier Jr. For real. That's my tag name there. And I'm on Facebook too, at just simply Lamont Dozier Jr. And I'm on LinkedIn too, is where you can find me there. And if you need to download my music, I'm on iTunes, Amazon's, You can stream me at Spotify or Pandora, and I'm just check me out, man. I'm there, and the music is there. You can get it and enjoy yourself and to your heart's content, because it was made for you. It was made for your audience, man, to enjoy.
Thank you so much, and continue to stay blessed, okay?
Thank you, Ray, man. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for your audience. And I just pray you guys enjoy the music. And thank you for having me as your guest. I really appreciate it.